We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, welcome into another episode of the Goodman and Hummel podcast. I'm Jeff Goodman. He is Robbie Hummel. And yeah, I look like shit, Rob, because
you've been living fast. You've been living fast is what you've been doing.
Listen, all right, first of all, two nights ago, I did the Champions Classic. And I go back, Talia went with me because she was in Bloomington, which is only 50 minutes from Indianapolis, as you know. So, you know, double overtime first game. We'll talk about the Champions Classic here in a bit. We get back to the room at like 2:30, and she got to get up the next morning for a test. But I got an early flight with Doster to Austin, Texas, for the Gonzaga Texas game last night. So we got to get up at 5, and the problem was I couldn't fall asleep till 4 because my daughter was snoring pretty loud. And usually I'm the one who gets yelled at by my wife because I snore. So my wife has to leave the room. You'll find all this stuff out when you get a little bit older.
When I'm mature.
She has to, yeah, well, when you're mature, I don't know when that'll happen. But so my wife has to leave the room. So I get yelled at plenty of times because I'm loud. And obviously, Talia, you know, unfortunately, might have picked up this awful trait from me. And so I got like an hour. I don't sleep on planes really at all. So then, and last night, obviously the game ended late in Austin, and Doster and I went out a little bit after the game. So, yeah, my eyes probably look like shit.
Austin has claimed another victim.
That's right.
Normally it's bachelorette parties, bachelor parties, college students, but this time it's 50-year-old Jeff Goodman who's been claimed as well.
Damn, man. And I'm going to Vegas today.
Oh, Jesus.
So I'm glad we're not doing this podcast tomorrow morning. At least today, yeah. I wouldn't have made it. Yeah, I wouldn't
You're
have made
be
it
a train wreck, dude.
Yes, no.
Where are you staying? Where are you staying?
Oh, I made a mistake here, and in Vegas, you mean, or here?
Yeah, in Vegas.
In Vegas, the Park MGM.
No, that's good for the arena. It's perfect.
Exactly. I mean, you know, the Cosmopolitan's the one that I always stay at.
Yeah, any of those in the city center are good. And that's where all the action is anyway,
right,
from like
right.
Park MGM
to
the Bellagio.
I don't know how nice the rooms will be. I don't really care.
I stayed there in college.
Did you?
They're like, yeah, that was when it was the Monte Carlo. It's fine. What
Great
Vegas
location.
Hotel on the Strip is that bad. Yeah. It's really
exactly.
Bad.
Exactly. All right, let's get to last night's game. Because I also did forget my, I took the wrong laptop charger. So this podcast could be, I'm looking at the battery. All right.
Ever the professional. Ever the professional.
Yeah, not pretty. Not pretty. But what was pretty was Texas's offense last night. Their offense. Like, imagine. I actually said that to Beard after the game. I said it was like basically going to get a root canal last year watching Texas's offense. Last night, it was pretty. The motion was. Well, listen, everything looks better when you're making shots, no matter what you're running. It could be the tight flex, it could be the motion, whatever it is, right? And last night, Tyrese Hunter was making shots. And he didn't do a lot of that at Iowa State last year. He was awesome. And it made, to me, Marcus Carr look good. And they've got other weapons. And Gonzaga, frankly, did not look good at all last night. Mark Few, you could see it in his face. And You know, I was talking to him after the game a little bit. He's like, we got a lot of work to do. They do.
That's fair to say. Yeah.
My biggest impression early on is always not to overreact too much. Okay. Like, I like this Texas team. I like last year's, and that was kind of unfounded. That was more based on Chris Beard than anything else. This year, the difference for me is it's not a new coach in a new program. Now he's kind of got his culture established, right? Last year, he inherited a bunch of guys that weren't his, right? Andrew Jones, Courtney Ramey, guys that really weren't his that had been used to losing. And I felt like he accomplished about as much as he could last year with the group that he had.
They lost to Purdue in the second round. Is that right?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. You know, Dylan Mitchell is a stud.
So athletic. Who
knows exactly what he is, Rob. Like, he doesn't complain at all. They love him here, and he's potentially a first-round pick. Probably a first-round pick, to be honest.
I'd say he would have had the dunk of the night, but the Brazil kid from Arkansas took
Holy shit. That dunk was insane.
Yeah, but Dylan Mitchell was nice, too. I mean, that tip back that he had.
He can go get it, and he's different. He fits in, number one, because he's different and super athletic. Number two, because he's probably the highest-rated pro prospect they have, and he doesn't give a shit. He doesn't complain. He doesn't try to make shots that he can't. You know, he's not shooting from 18 feet to prove to the NBA guys, and there were a ton of NBA guys in the arena last night. And we'll get to the arena, which was awesome. The Moody Center, brand new last night. What were your impressions of Texas?
I think, aside from the shot making, and I agree with you, I love Tyrese Proctor's, Tyrese Hunter's game. Just from seeing him in the NCAA tournament last year here in Chicago.
Yeah.
And he was a playmaker and he was a big time defender, but if he's going to shoot like that, and Fran Frischel was talking about on the broadcast about all the work he's put in, he's going to shoot to that caliber. Who knows, you know, but the depth of Texas is what stood out. Daisu coming in and looking healthy this year and giving the spark that he does. Sir Jabari Rice. I mean, just a winning player. You know, there's a lot of guys that came in and gave good minutes, whether they were freshmen, whether they were returners, whether they were transfers.
Yep.
They
love Rice.
Brock Cunningham came in and played great. You know,
the pieces now fit as long. And again, my thing is always like, was that a career night for Tyrese Hunter?
It could be. I mean, that was, what was he? 5 of 8 from 3, 9 of 14 from the field.
Yeah.
That could be. He shot 27% from 3 last year. And coming into tonight, he was shooting 18.
Right.
Now, you could say, well, small sample size. He's 1 for 7 in his first two games.
Yeah.
But I don't know if he is the knockdown shooter that's going to be able to make 5 threes in a game. It was funny to watch at one point when he was truly on fire. And Marcus Carr, I saw him in Minnesota.
He gets close
to triple doubles. Right. He's a good player. He's really talented.
Yeah.
I just worry that at times now
I know where you're going with this. Yes.
His thirst to score at times when you're like, dude, you've got a dude.
At the dumbest times.
He took a shot and T.O. tweeted about it. It was spot on because you've got a guy that's literally in the zone. And when that's the case, you've just got to be like, all right, just give it up.
You got to have feel. You got to have feel as a point guard.
But he has a thirst to score. And it's crazy to say that because he does have 7 assists.
One turnover.
Think about Christian Bishop just coming off the bench and being one of your backup bigs. I mean, he's a good player.
That's kind of what because Dylan Disu was pretty good. Now, again, defensively, listen, Drew Timmy's going to abuse everybody in the country. Like, nobody anymore. I don't think anybody can stop Drew Timmy these days. One-on-one. Anybody. How much length is there? You know, obviously, Drew Timmy, that's his probably biggest issue is scoring over major length and athleticism.
Who do you like better, Tolu Smith or Drew Timmy?
That was T.O.'s comparison. One we'll never forget. We will never let that die. I think T.O. finally has a newfound respect of Drew Timmy for watching.
After watching him in person, he got
the. And he didn't have his best game.
But they're not giving him any help.
We'll get to Gonzaga. Yeah, let's get to Gonzaga in a minute. Let's get to Gonzaga. But Texas, Are they second weekend contenders? Are they Final Four contenders? No, and what do you need to see from them?
I think they're definitely a team that you could chalk into Final Four contenders.
Yeah.
They have multiple primary ball handlers.
Right.
The shooting might, I mean, they make 13 threes. Right. We'll see how that continues on. That's not going to be what they average. Right. But I do think with all the playmakers, with some of the youth, with some of the experience, with their depth, with the way they're going to guard you. I mean, Chris Beard's teams have always been terrifying because you're like, they are going to guard their asses off.
Yeah.
And they're going to make it really hard for us to score. But now they have guys who can get into the paint. They've got some guys that I think are going to shoot it pretty well from three. They've got role players. They've got a little bit of everything. And they're going to get seasoned in the Big 12, going up against the Baylors and the Kansases. They will be battle tested. If they stay healthy,
win the Big 12? Can they win the Big 12?
Yeah. I haven't seen a ton of Baylor yet. I know they're talented as well. From watching Kansas as the champions, I like Kansas's team. But I don't think Kansas is – it's not one of those years where you look at the Jayhawks and you're like, oh, my God, this is overwhelming talent. They're good. And the way they grinded that out at the Champions Classic two nights ago was impressive. But, yeah, they can win the Big 12.
I mean, listen, when you're – Kansas has a couple guys who can really, really score that you know, right? Jalen Wilson can really score.
He's hunting and I think Grady Dick here tonight.
Grady Dick will be a guy who can score. He's not there yet, but you saw it in the spurt. Texas has, again, I think the biggest thing is like, all right, Marcus Carr's got a year with Beard. Timmy Allen's got a year with Beard.
And Timmy Allen didn't play well last night. He was the one
Timmy
guy
Allen did nothing. And they scored, 93 points?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a pretty good night. If Timmy Allen can give you two and you're going to score at that level. What I will say is defensively, I'm not sure any of those Big 12 teams are as bad as Gonzaga was last night defensively.
That's true.
That's my worry with Gonzaga. And we can get to the Zags right now. That's my biggest concern. Not can they score. Like, they're going to be able to score. Nolan Hickman's not Andrew Nembhard. We know that. You know, Chet, what he did defensively.
At the rim. I think those two guys being gone was so apparent last night.
Yeah.
Nembhard handling pressure, playing pick and roll, setting his – I felt like Drew Timmy – outside of back to the basket stuff, and every time he got a foot in the paint, it was three Texas defenders were swarming him.
Yep.
Where was the short roll? Last year it was pick and roll, short roll, Timmy takes a dribble, floater, spray. Yep. I can't remember that happening one time, but you need a point guard who can handle the pressure and make the pass.
Right.
And I think Nolan Hickman is going to be a good player, but I don't think he's there yet. Now he sprained his ankle. So it's like, boy, the point guard play. I think we appreciate Andrew Nembhard so much more for people that didn't see them a lot last year after watching that. And then the protection of the rim with Chet Holmgren, you know, it was, there was none. And that they don't have anybody that can protect the rim.
And then, you know,
that covered up a lot of miscues guard wise defending the basketball.
And Nembhard made it so much easier for Strother and Bolton also. Right. I mean, he knew where to get them looks. Right. I feel like Hickman doesn't understand that yet. You know, he's worried probably more about himself. And he made a couple threes early. And then, like you said, he got hurt late. How about Mark Few's quote to me after the game? I said, what do you think of Texas? He's like, they don't have any weaknesses. Now, again, last night they did.
It could be shooting. Could end up being
exactly. Like, that's the hardest in a one-off. And they played at such a high level. In a game in which it was the only game of the night that really got a ton of interest. We'll talk my Iowa Hawkeyes really after because they blasted Seton Hall.
Why are they your Iowa Hawkeyes?
So I've now
picked them. Oh, you championed them. Yeah, okay.
I did. I picked them to win the Big Ten.
Yep.
I mean, and everybody laughed at me. Everybody made fun of me.
I didn't laugh at you.
All right, Doster made fun of me for that. And
I saw Doster
a lot of
was shooting on the court just – freaking disrespecting the Moody Center.
He outshot Terrence Oglesby.
What? Really?
Did? Outshot him.
What was the score?
No, they it wasn't that long. They were both just jacking shots.
Oh.
I happened to post a clip where Doster made one and T.O. didn't.
I mean, that would have been shocking because I've played against Terrence since we were in high school and he could really, really
He can shoot it. So the Zags, are you now worried? Like, part of me, when Tommy Lloyd left for Arizona, part of me was like, oh boy, like this thing could fall off a little bit. I'm not saying it's ever going to go to a point where like Gonzaga is not going to be running the WCC, but what Gonzaga had done over the last few years was get to a point where they're consistently in the conversation as the preseason number one team, as a national title contender, and having a top, you know, lottery pick, right? Having NBA guys. Like Drew Timmy obviously is still there for a reason, because if he was good enough, to be a first rounder, he would have been gone by now. Same thing with Julian Strother. You know, he was probably a second rounder last year. They don't have that dude.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
They still have beyond a lot of talent. They still have a lot of talent, though.
Yeah, overall talent.
Like, yes. When you look at like recruiting stuff, I mean, Malachi Smith is one of the best transfers of the summer. It's not like they haven't been getting good players.
But there's no Chet Holmgren. There's no Jalen Suggs. Like those guys were
like the elite.
Yes, and I don't even know if Tommy Lloyd got them both. I know he got Nembhard.
I don't know how much his recruiting was Tommy Lloyd versus Mark Few. So I guess that's hard to say. Right. But this could also be a total overreaction. It's just a cyclical, okay.
Yeah.
This could be an overreaction. They could be really good. I mean, this is
that's
one
always
game.
The issue early
they
in the season.
They didn't play great on the aircraft carrier, but those conditions are pretty hard to play
right.
in, I think.
Right. I think they're a step down. I think they are a step down from what they've been, because they don't have that game-changing guy next to Drew Timmy. Is that
fair?
I don't think I'm
ready to say that, because from watching the Champions Classic, I didn't think those teams played all that well either, and they could be really good.
Well, that's
but they have
the
high,
bigger
they have
point.
They have high-end, I guess, higher-level recruits that are freshmen that are playing, but I didn't watch the Champions Classic and think, wow, these teams are so much further ahead than Gonzaga. Texas was last night. I don't know if Texas is going to be like that for the entire year. I just think it's too early to say.
And you know what Texas had that Gonzaga didn't? They had even older dudes. Like Drew Timmy's been around. Well, Marcus Carr's really, really been around, right?
Is his fifth year?
Yeah.
Fifth year for Marcus Carr?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, a lot of those guys, Timmy Allen, fifth year. Like those guys are men. Like Nolan Hickman's not.
Okay, but like the difference between Drew Timmy fourth year and
I'm not saying Marcus, Drew Timmy. I'm not counting
but
him.
Hickman, Salas,
right.
Rusher Bolton is old.
Right.
He's been around a long time.
Yep. Strother's played enough. I'm just saying like Texas has some guys that are like really old.
They've got a great mix of old.
They're gonna challenge you.
They've got a great mixture of youth, veterans, transfers.
No doubt.
They've all bought into the way that Beard wants to play.
And that's part of it.
They've got great momentum with that arena now. That place looked awesome on TV last night. It really was
really nice. It holds about 10,000. So here's the deal with the Moody Center. And I don't know how it comes across on TV, but the upper level is full of like suites for the most part. And it's built for concerts. And they have this huge screen that goes across. And they have the ability to do whatever they want with it. Beard said they're like tinkering. They're trying to figure out almost how to use it right now. But it was not intended. They don't want it to be a 16,000 seat arena. They had that with the Irwin Center, and it wasn't good, frankly. They want it to be a 10,000 seat arena, and that's the lower bowl. And what Beard did, and obviously he needed help from the administration, the students fill like 72% of the lower bowl, like I forget, you know, like the good seats, whatever.
In football, that would not roll. But because of the way that basketball is there, they're probably like, all right, fine. And it's better.
Yeah.
Better for the atmosphere.
It was really good. It was really good. It got loud in there. It's obviously not at the level yet that he had Texas Tech at in terms of those fans. But he thinks he can get it there. He really does. He thinks he can get it to where there is rabid. You know, there's still, Texas football fans first. I'm not sure that'll ever change. They're probably high school football fans second. But
that's so true.
But they'll listen. It was a home court advantage last night for probably, one of the first times since I was there when Avery Bradley had it rolling and Damian James had it rolling.
I mean, think about even like the Durant years. They would fill the Irwin Center.
Right.
Or close to fill it, but it was never an atmosphere where you were like, whoa, when you go to a Purdue or Indiana or Kansas or Duke.
Yep.
I'd been there for I did an NIT game there and it was one of the worst atmospheres. Not that the NIT brings out the best in high major crowds, but it was like, it was really bad. And even regular season games. It's a definite upgrade. And people were kind of clowning it for you can't even sell it out. I don't think
is. They didn't try to sell it out. They'll never sell those tickets. That's where Matthew McConaughey's sitting up top drinking
the
wine.
Minister of Culture.
The Minister of Culture. He wasn't there. He wasn't there. Yeah. He probably filming a movie.
First big game at his Moody Center. He didn't even show up.
Did not show up. Obviously, football takes precedence there. I'm sure he's there for those big ones.
All right. As small businesses are back in business, LinkedIn Jobs makes it easier to grow your team. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the people you want to interview faster and for free. I've used it before, and I'm telling you, I've found really good people and done it quickly and efficiently. Create a free job post in minutes on LinkedIn Jobs to reach your network and beyond. To the world's largest professional network of over 810 million people. Then add your job and the purple hiring frame to your LinkedIn profile to spread the word that you're hiring so your network can help you find the right people to hire. Simple tools like screening questions make it easy to focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience so you can quickly prioritize who you'd like to interview and hire. It's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the candidates you want to talk to faster. Did you know every week nearly 40 million job seekers visit LinkedIn? Post your job for free at linkedin.com/good. That's linkedin.com/good to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
All right. So I kind of agree with you when we're talking about Gonzaga and even Texas and saying like, all right, Texas may not be quite as good as we saw them last night. Gonzaga's probably not as bad as they were last night.
Yes.
But the Champions Classic did show us something overall. To me, it showed us that there's no dominant team among those six teams. Like, I haven't seen Houston yet. I don't know.
I'm seeing them this weekend. I'll see them in Oregon.
I can't wait to see them.
I'm excited too.
Yeah, they may be the best team in the country because, frankly, the way Carolina's looked right now, they're not the best team in the country yet. Yep. We kind of gave them the mantle based on that run that they had in the NCAA tournament last year. Caleb Love has to understand that Armando Bacot is on that team at some point.
Sometimes Caleb Love gets locked into jacking.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No doubt. It's like, what are you doing? I don't understand.
He's got a lot of weapons around him. I mean, those five guys in the starting lineup can all hoop. So,
and like Pete Nance is like an afterthought right now. And you would just think
he is talented. Pete Nance is really talented.
Like, wouldn't you think that would be the first thing that you would be doing if you were Caleb Love? Is like, all right, let's make sure that this dude is happy.
You know, I thought that he had found a really good understanding in the NCAA tournament last year of shooting and passing.
Yeah.
I thought he had gotten to a good mixture, and there was games I watched late in the season where I'm like, this dude, all he wants to do is score.
Yeah.
And it seems like he sometimes, it's kind of like Marcus Carr. The thirst overwhelms you.
Yes.
The thirst to score overwhelms. But to impress NBA people, it would be a mixture of both. It would be playmaking.
100%.
Okay, if you're open, sure, we want you to shoot it, but get him involved. Make him feel comfortable. Yeah. Get Armando Bacot the ball. You know, like there's other guys out there that can play.
So what was the one thing that stood out to you the most from Champions Classic? Did anything surprise you? Did anything blow you away in terms of yeah, a little too much light coming in. Probably a good thing. Less light might be better for me right now.
Those hungover eyes are struggling.
Yes.
You know what? And I don't want this to take away from what Michigan State did. Yeah. Because they hung in there and they made plays, and in double overtime, they made some, you know, Joey Hauser was great. Monty Sissoko was like a different freaking player. I cannot fathom it. He was a dude that would come in and foul four times and be a big that you were like, he has no control of his body. He's just
he was gonna transfer to Western Michigan.
He's just fouling the hell out of everybody.
Yeah.
And now he's fluid running the floor. He's catching lobs. He's making post moves. Like, it's like Tom Izzo said that he'd gotten way better, and everybody's like, yeah, okay.
right.
Shit, he did.
Yeah.
So that's not my main takeaway. And again, I don't mean this in any way to take away from Michigan State, but I was shocked at the lack of execution by Kentucky late. The inbounds play.
You weren't the only one.
The first Malik Hall slip to force overtime, Oscar Tshiebwe is above every player.
Right.
It's a good read, but it's the only read. I mean, you have to go there because the defense is so abysmal. The press play was awesome by Tom Izzo. But you can also argue, you know, I guess you're pressing to try to take some time off the clock, but if you don't, they've got to still score in the half court, which at times can be a struggle for that Michigan State team. Offensively, it was like, what are they running? It was like watching one-on-one the entire time. I
felt like they didn't run anything.
G-Boy's fifth foul, just a blatant moving screen. I mean, there was so many things where I'm like, you know, they're missing free throws. I was shocked at Kentucky's lack of execution. And credit Michigan State for taking total advantage. Tyson Walker made big shots. Joey Hauser made big shots. Malik Hall got dunks. So, but that was my biggest takeaway. Holy crap, Kentucky gave the game away.
It's hard not to think that way when you watch the game, because Kentucky had the game so many different times.
They lost it seven different times.
Right.
After winning it seven different times.
Yes.
I mean, it
was
crazy.
And again, like, credit to Michigan State, credit to Izzo. And Cal took some accountability for it and said, we didn't execute, that's on me. But then there was the excuse of, but we haven't had three guys, but
they
we
have
haven't.
Veteran. They have veteran guys,
right?
I mean, they have some youth too. But Jacob Toppin is fifth year senior,
right? Yes,
Tshiebwe is fifth year.
Yeah, and Sheboy's been in the program for a year and a half now. No, he's been there for a year and a half.
I agree. I thought there was is Antonio Reeves an older guy too?
No, well, older guy transferred from Illinois State. Yeah.
I just there was guys making mistakes that you're like, these guys should not be doing this.
No doubt that. That was a big takeaway for me. The other takeaway with Kentucky is they're going to be really freaking good. They're going to be really good because the pieces fit together.
I like Cason Walls.
Oh, he's awesome.
He plays his ass off.
Yeah. No, he defends. I asked Cal this after the game.
Did he answer?
Yeah, we walked for about 5 minutes to the bus. Just the two of us.
Together?
Yeah, together. We're hugging. No, we were not hugging. But I did ask him, you know, like, when's the last Cason Wallace, the last guy who defended like that as a freshman for him might have been Michael Gilchrist.
He was
on the perimeter.
Defensively.
You know, I mean, this kid comes in and he wants to guard and he can run a team and he can make an open shot and even a contested one at times. Like, he's not a bad shooter. So I think he's the guy that changes them.
But he also does a little bit of everything. Five rebounds. Five assists, eight steals.
I've said, of his 14 you points. Can't look at the box score, honestly, to judge the impact of Cason Wallace. And the box score looks pretty good.
Two nights ago, you could. That's a pretty impressive box score.
But a lot of times, you'll look at it and be like, all right, he only scored like 7 points. And it's like, damn, he does everything else.
He also let him in minutes. He played 44 minutes.
Right. He's awesome. And they've got shooters. And the shooters, those two shooters – didn't make shots. CJ Frederick and Antonio Reeves didn't really make shots.
One for seven and 2 for 7.
Right. Where Joey Hauser did.
Joey Hauser
kept him in the game.
And there have been these rumblings out of East Lansing that, you know, he has been their one of their maybe their best player throughout the fall. Yeah. And again, the aircraft carrier game is probably the perfect storm of the worst conditions for him because he's got to make shots.
Yep. No doubt.
I think he had 2 points, 5 fouls, and like 4 turnovers on the carrier.
But he said it was the outdoor conditions. That's what he said. Jokingly, but he said
it's probably fair. I mean, for a shooter, that's tough. The shooting off the move grabbed my eye. I felt like the pin down stuff they were running for him was really, really good.
And he had confidence by then. He had confidence. After it's making amazing. A couple.
How about even he makes a couple? He gets a kick out late, I think in the second half, shot fake, one dribble pull up. When you make shots, the way defenses guard you, it just opens everything up. All of a sudden, you can be a driver where you're not having to grind it out past an athlete because they're sprinting at you, they're running by you, shot fake, one dribble pull up. It just, when the ball goes in the basket, from a confidence standpoint and from a way that defenses guard you, it changes the game. And he was feeling confident, and he played great. I mean, 23 points, that's big time. 8 rebounds, he played really well.
He was good. Like you said, Tyson Walker was really good down the stretch. And to me, you know, they're a team that they're probably not going to blow you away this year. They're going to have to do it collectively. And Jay Nakins probably keeps getting a little better and better and more comfortable.
I will say end of the game, it will be interesting to see who is the guy. That's definitely going to be. And last year, you know, Tyson Walker had a game winner against Purdue.
Yep.
They kind of took turns.
It should be Walker making the decision. I'm not again.
Well, especially with Sissoko's ability to roll now, you could set a ball screen.
Yep. For a lot.
Hogard can make plays, but you worry about Tyson Walker as a shooter. He can get to his pull up, which he likes. Yep. He can shoot threes. Hogard, he's got to get into the paint for a layup or a floater to be a threat to score.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then you surround him with Hauser and Hall and you know, so yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Listen, I think we got to a point now where we're like, all right, you know what? Michigan State, like, they can finish I don't know if they can win the Big Ten, but they can win a lot of games in the Big Ten this year. We're coming into the year. I was thinking, man, because Izzo, I think they're 500 over the last 2 years in the Big Ten or right around there. I'm thinking, shit, it's probably another 500 year for Tom.
Sissoko changes everything. He really does.
Everything.
Because you think Marcus Bingham's out of there. Who is playing center? And you're like, Sissoko or Jackson Kohler or one of the other freshmen. Not going to, fly.
Get it done.
And now I'm all, that's fine.
I mean, listen, the Cooper guy, you have about as good a chance of stopping Oscar Tshiebwe as the Cooper kid they put in late.
Here's the thing about me and Oscar, if we went up together. He's got to guard me too. So I'll just take him on the perimeter, and threes are better than twos.
You think so?
Although he defended at times really well.
He did. Oscar's gotten,
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Listen, he made like a 17 footer.
He did.
You know, at one possession late, it was late, and he should have gotten the ball and tried to, you know, score on the post, and he faded away.
And the shot he took late in the game was horrible.
Yeah.
And you think Oscar Tshiebwe is going to chase me off all those screens? Please.
Well, not right now. Not after missing a month with his knee. I'll give him another couple weeks.
No. Those big guys, they have. Tractor vision to stay around the painted area.
It's true. It is.
They might be out there for a little bit, but you start coming off screens, and it's a different animal for those dudes.
I still say this, and people will rip on me for this, for how I do my rankings, but I think I have them at like 11 right now, Kentucky. I think they will be.
You can't. I mean, that's fine, because you cannot overreact to one game.
Right.
I was disappointed in them, but they come out and they're going to play a schedule that gives them opportunity against plenty of good people, yep. and they could look totally different.
They got Gonzaga Sunday. How big is that
Gonzaga
game?
Gonzaga could blow them out, or Kentucky could blow Gonzaga out, and now we feel totally different about Kentucky or the Zags. It's the problem, I guess, with us doing these types of podcasts, especially when you do it every night, is that the nights get so amplified.
Yes.
When it is a 5-month season, you know,
especially when there have been no other big games.
Well, I was thinking,
right?
Thank God for the Gavitt games.
Yeah.
Thank God for the Chamberlain.
You were so excited for Seton Hall, Iowa, which we'll get to in a minute, just because, again, like Seton Hall, Iowa this year, and Seton Hall's not very good. Looks like it's been one of the better matchups of the early season.
Yeah,
all right.
No,
give me your quick thoughts on Duke, Kansas before I get your take on the Iowa Hawkeyes.
I think Duke is definitely really talented. Filipowski, I thought, is for being 7 foot, his skill set is quite impressive.
It is.
You know, not starting Derek Lively because he's been hurt. I think that changes. I really like Tyrese Proctor. I thought in the second half he was really comfortable in terms of making plays for himself and other people. Him being aggressive is going to be huge. The fact that they led late in that game, I think, is a good sign for Duke.
Sure. Because they're young.
They have so much youth out there. I like Duke's team. I think as they get healthy and you get Derek White back.
Yeah, we haven't seen arguably their best offensive player. I don't know if I'm ready to call Whitehead that. I haven't seen him enough.
Yep.
But he could be.
I just think they're freshmen, and then combined with Roach, who's a veteran guy back. Mark Mitchell did some really good things. Yeah, I think it was so weird seeing John coach, but cool. I mean, it was cool. But I was really impressed by Kansas in terms of just their poise. Grady Dix finishing last 4 minutes. First of all, as a cutter. He is tremendous. The back cut out of the corner. The next play that he hit the three, it was the realization that, oh, wow, we were 5-on-4. I can pop back and I'm wide open.
Yep.
Makes the three.
Yep.
And the cut from the top of the key, it's
awesome.
A really ballsy pass, but big time cut. I mean, he made so many plays down the stretch. I thought DeJuan Harris was tremendous. Yep. People were clowning us for not drafting him as a point guard.
Yeah.
In our draft, and I kind of was like, no.
Right. Well, because you can't score.
But after watching him last night with the lack of point guards, I think they might have a case to be critical.
He's an elite defender.
Big time passer.
You gotta put him with four guys who can score. And my question to you is, does Kansas have a lineup even with four guys that can score that you're gonna put him out there with? Now, maybe by the end of the year, okay, you could put him with Grady Dick as a veteran freshman who's consistent, with Jalen Wilson, who doesn't miss every three that he shoots.
He shot 26 times, dude.
That's a lot. That's
he
a
was
lot.
On the prowl to score.
Yeah. Well, his there was nobody else.
No, he had to. He had
right.
to.
Right. Grady Dick didn't take a shot.
Yeah.
Didn't take a shot in the second half until about 4 minutes left.
Yep. Who do you think was their best lineup? Wilson, Harris, Dick, McCullough, and
it's going to be the Uday. It's going to be Uday, but he can't score. That's the problem. He's their best inside guy. He gives you rim protection. He gives you a guy who can rebound, but he can't. He's just a roller. Like that's all he is. So,
but I feel like
another
that's,
big KJ that's probably, Adams. Yeah,
it's probably okay though. I mean, as long as Jalen Wilson's not 0-7 from three,
right. And McCullough's got to be more aggressive. And he was good in the first half.
He took 10 shots.
Yeah. He probably needs, you know, to be a consistent third scorer that's averaging 12 to 14.
But as a third scorer, taking 10 shots is going to be his volume.
Yes. No, I think that's your best lineup down the road. I think KJ Adams coming off the bench is what you want. I mean, he's really undersized.
He is a tank.
He plays so hard.
Yeah.
And he's so tough. Listen, the one thing you can't question with this Kansas team is their toughness.
And their
winning
pedigree.
They've got some tough dudes on this. Like, Bill Self likes this group for their toughness. But, again, it's hard. Sometimes it'll be hard to watch them try to score. All right, before we run, the Iowa Hawkeyes, the team that I believe I picked as the biggest surprise in the Big Ten in our preseason deal. I have picked them to win the Big Ten. I've also think I've picked Indiana. I probably picked every team to win the Big Ten on, you know, a different call or a different radio show. But I really liked this Iowa team going into the year, and I got clowned for it. You've seen them in person. You saw them dismantle a very average Seton Hall team last night. What do you think of them?
I think they're really good. I think they just have so many, a lot like when we were talking about Texas, maybe not to that degree, but you look at the roster and you're like, he's a good player. And the Fran McCaffrey has not gotten credit for his player development at all. I mean, and you could go back a long, long time ago from the time he got to Iowa, but the last 3 years, you've had three first-team All-Americans. Yeah. You know, Luka Garza twice, Keegan Murray, signed Chris Murray up for that deal as well. I mean, I don't know if he'll be a first-team All-American, but he's
going to jump. Yeah.
Oh, I mean, he looked awesome last night. I think Tony Perkins has been fabulous as well, and he's got some shit to him.
He's the key, Rob. He's the key to that whole team.
Totally. I think this is going to be one of Iowa's better defensive teams under Fran. Because
what's that saying, Rob? Rob, what's that saying?
They were better last year. Yeah, they weren't like abysmal. Right. They've gotten better the last couple of years. But, yeah. I mean, I like Perkins. I thought Ulis gave really good minutes. They just have so many different ways they can play. Sanford didn't play well last night. Patrick McCaffrey is a good player. Connor McCaffrey, I saw a stat since January 1st of last year, or I guess of this year, he is shooting 40% from three. I mean, so just as a guy that can spread the floor, knows what's going on, can play four positions. I just really like their team. Rabracha's improved. He's aggressive and they play fast. They don't turn it over. They chuck it up from three.
Yep.
And they've got guys that can also get to the rim. You know, they were posting the shit out of Chris Murray last night.
And the big boy. And the big boy can do what you need him to do. He doesn't need to score. They've got enough scores.
He knows his role, and you know what he was doing against Bethune-Cookman, and I think he'll do it the whole season, is he was taking rebounds off the rim defensively and pushing it out. So you got five dudes that can take it off the glass. And
did he look okay doing – I mean, it's Bethune-Cookman.
You know who he looked like doing it?
Who?
He looked like Ethan Happ dribbling the ball up the court.
Okay.
Who was very comfortable in doing that. I'm not saying he is Ethan Happ as a player.
Yeah.
But that's who he reminded me of, breaking it out and pushing the ball up the floor. They're gonna be a team that I think finishes in the top three or four of the Big Ten.
All right. Well, listen, I gotta run. I gotta catch a flight to Vegas. Blackjack.
When you land, you need to go to one of those rejuvenate vans. Get your
how much
ass
are
in
those?
IV.
How much
I don't
are
know,
those?
But you need it. If it's $1,000, pay it.
You're saying I don't look good.
You can hear it in your voice, and you can see it in your eyes.
Yeah, it's a tough one to hide when you go back to back nights with no sleep. And when you're my age, it's hard enough for you, but when you get 15 years more on you, it'll be really hard for you to combat sleep.
You know what? If you're gonna hoot with the owls, you got to soar with the eagles in the morning, Jeff.
Listen, I'm gonna be good. I got Baylor, Illinois, UCLA, and Virginia this weekend.
The main event is a sweet deal.
It's great.
I was there last year.
It's fun.
With Arizona and Michigan. Good tournament.
You got any hookups there for the steak place in Park MGM? Supposedly it's really good, but it's sold out.
I know they've got an eatery there that's great.
Yeah, we'll do that. My wife and daughter, Talia's flying out there too. So
yeah.
We'll catch some games. What do you have this weekend? Oregon.
I'm going to Oregon for Oregon Houston, and then I'm out to PKI. So
you got a few days in between.
Yeah, I'm Logan's going to meet me up there. We're going to go to the Nike store, and then just prep.
Have you been to the Nike store?
Yeah, I was a Nike athlete.
I didn't know you got invited to the Nike store.
You know what?
I didn't know you were at that level.
It's not hard. I mean, you can get invites from a lot of people if you know the right people.
I'll tell the story next week on the pod. We'll try to figure out around Thanksgiving. Well, you and I probably be together in PK 80, 85. I'll tell the story of my confrontation with Daniel Dokic at the Nike store next week. All right. So if there's a reason to tune in, that's the tease. That is the tease. So make sure you Subscribe, make sure you watch Goodman and Hummel podcast, and we'll see you next week.